my friends. This is a study on who is God. Let's go ahead and turn to Psalm 3, verse 3. Psalm 3, verse 3. But you, O Lord, are a shield about me, my glory, and the one who lifts my head. I was crying to the Lord with my voice, and he answered from his holy mountain. This first verse we're looking at here is, you know, we're going to be in Psalms with most of these. But this first verse is pointing out our God is our protector. He's there for us. Not only has he saved us from eternal punishment, but he's our protector. And as we trust in God, as we give our lives over to God, it's like obviously giving ourselves over to someone who's larger and more powerful than we are. And part of the humbling process, you know, we give away the things or the actions that, you know, the natural reactions that we have towards things, and look to him to protect us with different things. And this first psalm is just points that out, how the writer relies on God, you know, for, you know, to uphold him inside, even. You know, a lot of us are depressed sometimes, or most of the times. And as we learn to look to God, he'll lift us up. You know, there may be things that we need to do as far as praising him or praying or just talking it out with him. But as we depend on him, he lifts us up. And he's faithful in that. Every time we turn to him, he won't let us down. We just have to trust him to do that. We're going to go up to Psalms 5 and read verses 4 through 6. 4 through 6. Alright. For you are not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells with you. The boastful shall not stand before your eyes. You hate all who do iniquity. You destroy those who speak falsehood. The Lord abhors the man of bloodshed and deceit. And we can read verse 7. But as for me, by your abundant loving kindness I will enter your house. At your holy temple I will bow in reverence for you. So here's another aspect of God that we see here. The writer says he takes no pleasure in wickedness. You know, sometimes we think God has it out for us. That's not true. He desires to work good in us. Sometimes, though, our will has to be broken for that to happen. You know, we have to learn how to get out of the way and humble ourselves in order for God to work through us. You know, it's like we invite him to come in, but we're not willing to get out of the way and let him work. So sometimes he places obstacles in our paths or situations in our lives that break us down to get us to the point of a humble heart. That way we can come to him with humility and no pretense. Here, the writer in verse 7 says, by your loving kindness I will enter your house. at your holy temple, I will bow in reverence for you. Bowing in reverence, humbly presenting yourself to God. You know, and there's loving kindness with God. We just have to submit to it. And that's part of the Christian, our Christian walk. We have to learn how to just remove ourselves, basically, from the equation. You know, and just realize that God, He's for us. You know, who would die for a person and then, you know, and we think that person, you know, really is, you know, if they actually live on the other side, you know, if we believe that they died for us and we think that they're mad at us, you know, or they're trying to destroy us. No. No, He died for us to clean us up so that we can be with Him. That's all. He wants us holy. So there is no wickedness in God. A lot of people look in the world now saying, well, why did all these tornadoes destroy all these houses and wreck people's lives and kill people? No, God is not the author of chaos or confusion. His main plan for man is for man to come to Him and worship Him. He can't stop death from happening. You know, we can postpone it. You know, He's risen people from the dead, but eventually they have to die. And since there's no wickedness in God, which this is only one verse that says this, you know, there are others, but since there's no wickedness in God, we can be assured that God does not take pleasure in those things that hurt us. And don't forget, we have an enemy. We have an enemy that's out to steal, kill, and destroy us. Okay? So, death is because of Him. Hurt is because of Him. Pain is because of Him. Not God. God's there waiting for us to turn to Him. You know, He doesn't promise us that we will never have pain in this life. You know, He promises us that He will be there to comfort us in that pain. He promises that He will give us joy in that pain so that we can overcome anything that is in the world. That's what He's there for. So, let this be known. God is not a God who takes pleasure in wickedness. No evil dwells within Him. Okay, let's move on to chapter 7, and we're going to read verse 11. Chapter 7, verse 11. God is a righteous judge, and a God who has indignation every day. Now, when... let's have an analogy here. Let's say someone hurts us or comes against us and hurts our family. We go before the court. Okay? And the judge who is on the court, if he is not a righteous judge, then he won't punish the person who did the wrong. Right? So we look toward that judge to judge righteously. Same thing with God. God is a righteous judge. he has a right to be angry sometimes, you know, the way human beings act and do to each other. There's punishment for that. And that's where the fear of God comes in. You know, because he's able not only to destroy the body, but he can destroy the soul. Only man can destroy the body, but God goes further. He can destroy the soul of a person. So that's where fear and reverence comes in, because he's powerful. He's powerful. But he's a righteous judge. He's fair. Okay? He lets people do their thing, you know, if that's what they want to do. You know, he lets people ignore him. He lets people rail on and ridicule and mock him. He also lets people be broken down so that they can come to him. But in everything, just rest assured that God's a righteous judge. The people who do wrong won't get away with it forever. They'll have to come around some point and face what they've done, whether in this life or the next life. That's something we can't keep our eyes on, because we have to work out our own salvation. We can't be going around judging other people. That's God's job. We're not in a position to judge, you know, those people who are out in the world. God will judge them. We just have to focus on our salvation and help out our brothers and sisters in the faith. And if they need help or they need correction, then we correct them or judge them, you know, within the body of the church to help them out, to move them forward. But as far as everything outside the world, you know, God's a righteous judge. He'll take care of it. We're going to go to chapter 9 and verse 9. The Lord also will be a stronghold for the oppressed, a stronghold in times of trouble. And those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, O Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. And here's another one that goes back to the first verse that we read about God being a shield. This again supports that. God is a stronghold for the oppressed. Those of us who feel oppressed in this world, we clothe ourselves with God. Those of us who get hurt by other people, clothe yourself with God. Go to Him. Go to Him. He's a stronghold in times of trouble. He'll give you strength. He'll help bear you up, either within yourself, or He'll send other people to you, if you're open to that. Because that's what the body of church is for. We're there actually to help others, you know. So that's why we can't be alone, you know, as far as following God and in this Christian walk. We can't do this alone, because we are to bear each other's burdens, and God works through us to do that. God is complete when we do that. Because basically, He, when He works through us to help other people, those people are helped by God. You know, if we see someone starving out in the world, and we can't say, oh, well, God will take care of them. God is in us. God is reaching out in us to take care of them. We are the hands and the feet of God. It's our responsibility to do that. So we can't pass by. Okay, so to complete the circle of God, being a refuge, to complete the circle for God being a stronghold. Not only do we trust in Him to bear us up, but we also have the comfort of our brothers and sisters around us. Okay? So, let that be said, you can't do this alone. We can't do this alone. Now, God is a big God, and He can, you know, bear you up, but He gets the glory when other people, when He works through other people also. So, don't look just one way for God to work in your life. He can come from anywhere. Just be open to Him and submit yourself to Him. And He'll take care of you. He's trustworthy. We're going to move to chapter 11, verse 7. Chapter 11, verse 7. For the Lord is righteous. He loves righteousness. The upright will behold His face. His face. So here again, we're just reiterating the righteousness of God. His upstandingness. His righteous judgment. We can depend on that. Okay? And this is another thing I want to point out. He loves righteousness. So when we act righteous, not, you know, self-righteous, but humbly, you know, in the humble love of God, in the humble mercy of God, when we act in righteousness in Christ, when we do things for the glory of God in righteousness, He's pleased with that. That pleases Him. And the reward is we will behold His face. Not only in the afterlife, but in this life too. And when the face of God is love, we will receive that. We just have to give it. Okay. The next verse we're going to go to is, we're going to go to chapter 18. And we're going to start in verse 2. Chapter 18, verse 2. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my rock in whom I take refuge, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. That is God. We look to Him to protect us. We look for Him to shield us. He is our salvation. He is our stronghold. We look to that. This is just another verse reiterating what we've already said. Go down to verse 25 in the same chapter. With the kind, you show yourself kind. With the blameless, you show yourself blameless. See how God mirrors us? God mirrors us. When we're kind, God is kind. Now, let me see in verse 26, with the pure, you show yourself pure. And with the crooked, you show yourself astute. Okay, so God is still upright, you know, and He doesn't bend when other people, you know, try to bend. You know, He is upright. We submit ourselves to Him. So basically, when we act like God, that means we are kind, we're merciful. We're going to go down to verse 30. Verse 30. As for God, His way is blameless. The word of the Lord is tried. He is a shield to all those who take refuge in Him. And again, this is just a reiteration of God's righteousness, a reiteration of God's pureness. And just a reiteration that He is a shield to all who take refuge in Him. If anything you get out of this little Bible study, know that He's a shield when you take refuge in Him. Okay? Depend on that. Trust that. And we've gone over 20 minutes, but this is going to be a several part because there's a lot of scripture here to go through. But that's okay. But just meditate on God being a refuge for us, a shield for us in our time of trouble. He's there for us. And the Holy Spirit in us is, you know, as you attune yourself to Him, He'll guide you in that. So just trust Him. Learn to trust Him and let go of your life and your ways. God will be there for you. God bless you, friend.